alright, stop. Collaborate and listen. I sit back with my brand new invention.
Wake me up.
Wake me up inside.
I can't wake up.
Wake me up inside.
Now, Papa is model. She just bleached her asshole. And I get bleach in my t-shirts. I'ma feel like an asshole.
When I die, fuck it, I wanna go to hell. Cause I'm a piece of shit, it ain't hard to fucking tell.
We're never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Hey, welcome back to the Fourth Official. It's episode 44.
Yeah, we survived 2016.
Yeah. Trump's the president now.
Mm.
That was no a way to start the show.
I mean, shit, it happened yesterday. Like
we started out with a good thing, and then you come in and immediately stomp on us.
Well, I mean, we've survived his first day. That's what I meant.
What you basically just did was start a game with Kyle Larin. And then 2 minutes in, put in Brian Roches, and then talk about how we had a chance to win the game. So, congratulations.
Hey, that's the voice of Kyle Foley. He is here in the form of a Google Hangout.
Hey. We don't win anymore.
Oh, my God.
It's been the Orlando City slogan for the past 2 years.
We don't win anymore?
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
We can't do anything right. Our military has to be strengthened.
I mean, we do have bad defense.
It's all China's fault, really.
We don't have victories.
Jesus.
Not that I can count.
Next 4 years. Probably less. Hey, okay, so let's talk some
no
more
politics.
Later city.
No,
yeah,
politics.
No
when
politics.
Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best.
Chicharito still hasn't come to Orlando City.
No politics. Well, that wasn't politics. Anyway, so
no,
that's,
none of it was politics.
Whatever. That's the voice of Brad Newton. Gavin Eubanks here. Myself, Austin David. We're here. Fourth official in almost full force. RIP Brent. Still.
We have losers.
Oh, Brent. Sorry, man. Don't mean that for you. All right. A lot of stuff to talk about because we haven't done a show since December 30-somethingeth.
Yeah.
Right before the new year?
The 30th, I believe, was when we last were here. All adjoined.
So about 22 days? A lot of stuff has happened.
Yeah.
Kyle, have you been catching up on any of it?
Sure, let's go with that.
Cool, we get to fill you in. So, Orlando City had their MLS draft, which they picked one guy. And that guy was Danny Deacon with the 64th overall pick. What's that?
What are we complaining about?
Hey, Brent.
Hey, Brent.
Nice to hear from you.
Cancer is very serious.
What's up with the tone of the show this morning, dude? It's just not.
I mean,
it's the first show of 2017, and we're just bringing
cancer
everybody
is
down.
Very serious in 2017. Dead whipped or whatever. So Danny Deacon, 64th overall pick for the Orlando City Soccer Club. The only pick that they had. They thought they had two. Matter of fact, I talked to Jason Kreis out in L.A. He's like, yeah, we got the 64th and 74th pick or 74th and 84th pick, whatever. He's like, we got two picks. We got a lot of guys that we are considering. And then it turns out they don't have that second pick because they traded it to Real Salt Lake in 2014 for the rights for Yordani Alvarez for a one-year loan, then to sign him later on. But then he had a heart problem and couldn't play. So that was a pick that they didn't get to pick, and Real Salt Lake passed anyway, so just nothing happened with that pick.
So, I mean, it sounds to me like when your Danny Alvarez retired because of medical problems, Real Salt Lake tried to say no takesies-backsies on that draft pick, and Orlando City did not hear them, and they were just going to refuse it.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Yeah.
Or they just didn't know, because it was like...
Because MLS, basically. I mean,
well, yeah,
it makes sense.
Well, everyone who was involved in that trade is pretty much gone from the club.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would understand, but...
You know, that was Lenny Santiago's thing. Now it's Diogo Cocho. So, different guys, you know, didn't maybe notes got crossed. It happens, but it's just funny because no one really noticed it until it actually happened. They're like, hey, wait, why don't we have a pick again? Wait, we traded it? Anyone was going to tell us that?
So they're like, all right, guys,
I can imagine how that
pick
went.
Pick number 74 is coming up, and then they're like, Real Salt Lake's on the clock. And I'm like, what? What happened?
Yeah. So, yeah, back to the guy they did draft, Danny Deacon.
He seems like a decent prospect. 23, OCB probably benefits from him.
23-year-old English native midfielder forward out of the University of South Carolina. Played with Detroit City FC in the NPSL.
Then my boys.
Scored one goal and two assists in 9 matches. He first team all conference, first team NSCAA all Southeast region, you know, all the fun stuff. And he's 5'9". So the last 5'9" Englishman that the Orlando City had was Dom Dwyer. So, you know, high expectations and all that. Of course, you got to compare him to Dom Dwyer at any point possible. Any player that is close to resembling Dom Dwyer, you have to compare to Dom Dwyer. That's kind of the rule of Orlando City now.
Basically.
Yeah.
Would you say Kyle Aaron is done better than Dom Dwyer in Orlando? I would think so.
It's kind of comparing a higher level, like it was third division to first division soccer.
I was about to say, he may have performed better in a better league than Dom Dwyer, but I don't know if he... I don't know if he still is this... I don't know if fans think he's the same. I think they value Dom Dwyer more.
Dom Dwyer almost single-handedly delivered a championship in 2013, so I think that right there alone carries a lot in the fans' minds.
Still third division.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
it is third division, but it's the last... It's, you know, it's trophies. That's what... And that's what matters.
Everybody hates A-Rod, but... Without him in 2009, didn't win that championship, so everybody loved him.
There's a little bit of a difference. I don't think Dom Dwyer was on steroids.
They don't think they drug test in third division soccer.
You don't know. They don't drug test in MLS, I'm pretty sure. Have you ever heard of an MLS player getting suspended for drug-related substance abuse?
I'm sure it's happened.
You ever heard about it, though?
I forget a lot of things, so, man.
I'm pretty sure. I don't remember it happening.
I mean, I've barely heard of soccer players in general getting in trouble for...
Doesn't it happen over in England sometimes though?
It happens occasionally, but I'm saying it's not commonplace.
But soccer's one of those sports that like it's hard to like use PEDs and like sort of mass them to be efficiently, because when you think about performance enhancing drugs, it's usually to build like size and strength. In soccer, you want a more leaned out physique to sort of like be able to be a little bit more agile. So doesn't really
I'm like 90% sure Ronaldo uses PEDs. But
he's Ronaldo, so he gets away with it.
He can also get away with it.
There's very few things you could do in soccer, though, to actually get forever kicked out of professional soccer.
That one guy for Pittsburgh that like horror tackled Carl Wimette from New York Red Bulls too.
Who's the guy that just got picked up by? I think he got picked up by a Premier League club. He was the guy who bet on over like 10,000 games. He got cut, and then somebody still signed him.
I mean, Pete Rose got basically barred from the Hall of Fame for that.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in England,
baseball.
He's banned from baseball.
In England, betting is not as like a big deal.
Yeah, here. I mean, it's more common over there. Teams are sponsored by betting companies.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's also the Pete Rose stuff happened at the very end of his career, and then as a coach, and so they retroactively punished him. It's another thing if you're a current player who still has something to offer.
Yeah.
So it's
if
like,
you're betting on your own games, like do they know if he bet on his own games?
I don't know.
I haven't read exactly. Too much. See, sorry. You know, I just know he
you got to do your research.
You bet on 10,000 games, you got to end up having one of those games.
Do you know how many games there are in the world for soccer?
I think there are just games in England.
Dozens. Well, literally dozens.
I don't think anyone cares if you're betting on the Chinese Super League.
Well, that they, would explain how the they Indonesian have
the money. No, they would actually encourage you to bet on the Chinese Super League.
No, but so I imagine if you know, if you're betting on like this, so this is my question. I've had this about Pete Rose too. If you're betting on your own games in like for your team to win, is that a problem?
Yes.
Why? Why is betting on yourself to win a problem?
Well, who says he was betting on them to win?
No. But that's not what I'm saying.
That's
I'm
where
saying
a lot of the controversy comes from. If you're betting on games where you have a direct impact in, that is highly suspicious.
But in any circumstance, if you are betting against yourself, then it's suspicious because you could be throwing the game.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is
betting on yourself to win. You're literally just betting on yourself to do your job.
I mean, this is a different conversation for a different day, but this is the whole thing in general is that betting is frowned upon in America, and especially in sports, especially in baseball.
Yeah, it's a different well, day for a day that we're not rushing to get this.
That's going to change.
We got limited time, man. I got to be at the hospital in 20 minutes to harass dudes.
Oh, wait.
Context?
Wait. Yeah, there's some context needed there.
No, I'm not going to give you guys context of that.
Cool. So that draft pick, yeah, talked about him. Let's go back to the whole LA thing and just go chronologically, I guess.
Tell us about your trip out there?
It was great.
Is that where we're going with this?
No, it was a great trip.
Oh,
went to both drafts and you know, sat in the front row.
Did you see anybody famous out on LA?
No.
Check out the Drip Doctors.
I forgot about that.
How can you?
Right? I don't believe that story one bit.
The last episode, we spent like a whole like 20 minutes talking about it.
I know. I completely forgot about it.
That's what he says.
I might have been like right next to their offices.
He very conveniently forgot that he went there.
I might have been next to their offices. I'm sure you were. He just didn't go in.
I hate needles.
They met you outside, didn't they?
So let's move on. NWSL draft. That was fun. That was more fun than the MLS draft, actually. So Orlando Pride picked up two players from that draft. Danica Evans out of the University of Colorado Boulder and Nicolette Dries out of Penn State, formerly of Florida State. She is one of the only players to have won two back-to-back national championships with two different collegiate teams.
Yeah, it's a good pickup for the Pride. She already comes in with, you know, some chemistry with a few different players that are already on the roster. I like the moves that are being made as far as like the composition of the team, as far as like players who, you know, kind of have a feel for one another, that have a lot of time and sort of chemistry built in. I think Sirmani's kind of doing a really smart thing here, where he knows he's only had a limited time to sort of get this team together, and even in year two, that's not a whole lot of time compared to some other teams. But getting players who already have that sort of chemistry built in sort of makes you competitive almost right away. And I mean, last year definitely didn't have the result that you probably would have liked to see, but you're not really going to have that same sort of stoppage for a lot of international competitions that are going to be going on, much in the same way that happened last year. Yes, Alex Morgan's going to be gone for a little while, but
maybe longer.
Maybe longer. Depending on
Krieger coming in now. Ali Krieger.
Krieger.
Ali Krieger.
I knew I had it wrong.
Krieger?
Krieger.
Bro, but, do you even Woso?
No.
But that aside, depending on how the CBA shakes out and everything else like that, if Alex Morgan doesn't return, maybe.
They've already started making steps basically to say like, hey, yeah, we're not worried if she doesn't come back because we've got like preparations ahead of that.
I mean, that's what they say publicly. Obviously, they would love for her to come back. Who wouldn't?
Oh, yeah. Well, so that
she's the most marketable women's soccer player.
At the same time, they do have to prepare as if it's not going to happen because you don't want to get caught flat-footed.
I mean, the way that Tom was talking about it at the draft, he was kind of like, you know, we're preparing for her if she doesn't come back.
And that's the thing, like you said, I think Tom deserves a lot of credit for what he's done building this team. He's making a lot of smart moves. I mean, obviously they finished ninth last season, which is kind of a given for an expansion team with the Olympic break and all. But I mean, they still brought in a lot of good players.
Yeah, how many players that they lost to the Olympics? I think there's only one or two teams in NWSL who lost more players to the Olympics than the Pride did.
They lost, what, three of their defenders? Of their starting defenders?
Their entire back line.
Line was gone. You had Alex Morgan.
Their goalkeeper.
Their goalkeeper, who was the goalkeeper of the year.
Didn't even play in Rio. It was just an alternate.
Yeah. So I think that tells you, you know, pretty much all you need to know right there about how talented this Pride team is when you have so many Olympians that are on the squad. First team national players. So
one thing that Tom was telling me out at the draft. He said, what I basically said to the players last year was that when we come into this league and we made a commitment to the players we signed, I felt really strongly that we honor the commitment to those players last year. But coming into this second year, it's very important to the commitment to the club. So between now and the start of the season, the plan is to assemble the best squad possible. And that'll mean that some players that were with us last year won't be there, and that we'll add to the squad and try to improve the quality. Which means there could be a few more cuts coming through in terms of players that people like.
And I think that happens anywhere you go with turnover and everything else like that. So that's, I mean, again, that's just the facet of sports that players are going to come and go. So
it's the nature of women's professional soccer right now, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of turnover everywhere you look. I mean,
the champions just moved.
Yeah,
to North Carolina.
The league champions just left and moved. So
that, you ever see that anywhere else in the entire world?
No.
It's like the Baltimore Colts winning the Super Bowl, and it was like, okay, thanks for the memories. Bye.
Yeah. That's
but they didn't win the Super Bowl, so.
Who were the Courage?
We're talking about the North Carolina Courage, yes.
Spaced out.
Thanks. Join it back in, Gavin. So,
the madness, yeah! Running wild, hand in hand. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's insane.
So back to the Pride. They've made two moves since the draft. Rachel Hill from UConn was drafted by the Portland Thorns with the second pick in the second round of the draft. People were pretty happy and like excited that she was drafted, and then she got moved to Orlando yesterday, or not yesterday, but a few days ago.
And to sort of temper that excitement, I guess. No, that's one of those Alex Morgan, you know,
replacement deals.
Yeah, it's. Listen. You got contingencies in place for a reason, and you could do a lot worse than getting hurt. So
yeah, and you know what's very funny? She is a striker out of UConn, born on the exact same day as Kyle Larin, who is a striker from UConn. Fun fact.
Some would say.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I think Macho Man would say that's unbelievable.
Ooh yeah.
Wonder what Brent would say for that.
I really don't know.
So, Kyle, you still there?
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the Pride usually, so I kind of, history shows that I stay quiet when we talk about that.
Fair.
Lest I seem stupid.
I thought that I was going to, oh.
Jesus. So, yesterday, and this is actually yesterday, Alana Kennedy got moved to the Orlando Pride. It was not yesterday again.
Yep.
It was like, what, Wednesday?
Yeah, sometime around there.
Alana Kennedy?
Yeah. Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday. Yeah,
Thursday. Alana Kennedy getting moved to the Orlando Pride for Sam Wideman. So
I like
Sam Wideman going to the North Carolina Courage, and Alana Kennedy, a Australian national team defender, coming to the Pride, which basically makes up the entire back line as Australian, except for Allie Krieger.
I mean, this is a really, really good deal for the Pride. Like,
you get a 22-year-old.
It's a straight-up deal for Sam Wideman, who was honestly pretty impressive in her first season. I think you're not losing a ton, but you're getting back a lot. And you're getting a player who is, what, 22 years old, and she already has over 50 caps?
22 years old today.
She has over 50 caps for the national team. She's made her debut at, what, 16? It's crazy how young those Australians start.
You do also have Monica, too. So,
But here's the question. Yeah, do you?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Alana Kennedy now puts them over their international slot limit. So they're going to have to move somebody.
That's what
it's
I'm saying.
Most likely going to be Lisa Van...
Lisa Devana?
Devana, yeah.
Because,
I don't think she's coming back.
Yeah.
There's been talk about
that. Yeah, there's a good chance that she probably stays in Australia.
Yeah. Either that, or you move Monica, which is entirely doable at this point now.
Or
you don't really need that
back line. Or one of the Canadians, Kaylin Kyle or Jose Bellanger?
I think it's entirely
between
possible
those two,
that Kaylin Kyle.
Probably get rid of Kyle. Bellanger is probably a player that you want to keep.
Yeah,
because she was one of your better ones last year.
Yep.
Again,
and she can play forward.
Yeah.
She is a forward by trade.
Very versatile player.
Yeah. So things looking up for the Pride, you're going to be hearing more and more as the weeks go by because they get closer to the season. More roster moves, more cuts, and schedule coming out. It's probably in sometime early to mid-February.
You know, it's funny, like as much as we talk about Orlando City being a Brazilian club, this is an Australian club through and through. The Pride.
You got the Australian national team coach. Makes sense.
Three players, their whole back line.
Right. Move on to Orlando City here.
Preseason starts on Monday. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
It feels, what is it, exactly 3 months ago from their last game against DC?
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. It's been a long offseason. It went by quick, though.
Basically, yeah. So they've made some moves. We talked about the draft pick. Pierre De Silva signed an MLS contract.
I'm excited to see what exactly the plan is for him. If they're actually going to give him that opportunity to be on the roster, or if he's going to just get loaned down to OCP for a little bit.
Well, I think the intent there is to eventually bring him up. Because I mean, I don't think you sign him to an MLS contract just to sort of keep him at OCB. I think it's one of those moves that we saw last year at the end of the season where they called up, what was it, two players?
Yeah, Rocha and Ambrose.
Ambrose, yeah. So I think if you give him a little bit of more time there to sort of get some first team minutes with OCB and then call him up either midway or towards the end of the season, who's to say? I mean, you just give him the chance to compete like at camp and just see if he makes the first team.
The thing is, like, with the way the current midfield situation is, I don't think he's going to get a lot of starting minutes unless an injury goes down. With OCB in town also, they have the opportunity to at least loan him for games without having to travel anymore when they need to. But I think he'll still be on the bench a lot.
I think this move was made purely for the fact that they want to keep him for the future and that they didn't want another MLS club to come in and sign him.
So, I mean, I look at it also essentially like a Mason Stadiohart kind of situation where they sign him to the homegrown deal, but he's not going to be playing anytime soon in the near future.
Right. He hasn't even played a game for OCB yet.
He's what? He's how old?
Mason?
Yeah. No, not Mason.
Oh, Pierre?
Yeah, like 18. 19, 18? 18. Yeah, so I mean,
he's got
he's
time.
A big kid, though. He's kind of, I mean, he's a tall kid. He's a big kid for his age. He's
heck
definitely,
of a left, heck of left foot.
Yeah, he's got talent. I think, like I said, if an injury goes down, that left wing becomes open. Carlos Rivas, if they're playing him as a striker, I don't think he's a winger anyway.
Christ believes he is a striker.
He's going to have the opportunity, regardless.
Well, it depends on the formation, doesn't it?
Exactly, and that's the thing. That's the thing about this team is because we don't know what they're going to do. Jason Christ has talked about being flexible with several different formations, so it's tough to predict right now.
He said at the fan forum, from what I've been hearing, he said 4-4-2. That could mean the 4-4-2 flat, 4-4-2 diamond.
Exactly. He's going to be flexible. I don't think we're going to see a consistent lineup on a week-to-week basis like we would with Adrian Heath, where we know what the system is, what the formation's going to be when everybody's healthy.
But knowing the system and knowing how to play,
it's obviously an advantage, yes.
For players especially.
But I think it's also smart to keep things flexible is because you don't want to get in that one rut where teams can plan against that, and then you get into situations where you're constantly behind.
That was the knock on
Adrian Heath is that he was too predictable.
Right.
I mean,
but the thing is, like, at the same time, yes, he is predictable, but what so many players who had played for him previously had said was that, yes, it is predictable. It is the same thing. But if you play it right, it is so hard to stop.
Exactly. If it works, then continue on with it, is basically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got players that can play the diamond. He's got players that can continue to play the 4-2-3-1. This team can do several different things, which makes it interesting moving forward as to what they'll do.
Sure. A lot of options. That's the point. Back to the MLS draft. I mean, just really quickly.
Said no one from Orlando City.
But I talked with, when I was out in LA, I talked with Nikki Vidalic.
I like that.
Ripped.
It's funny. I just noticed that.
Sploosh.
It's got a Pam from Archer doing the Little Mermaid pose on the rock, and it says sploosh underneath it.
I like the little dolphin in the background, too.
Yeah. It's got her little dolphin puppet.
Anyway, Nikki Vidalic, the GM, he said that We definitely had some goals to achieve in the offseason. I feel like we've addressed the majority of those and done the majority of our recruitment in advance of the season. So I think we're pretty happy with where we're at right now. Things could be moving depending on some things, but overall, we're definitely happy. And then Jason Christ said, we've still got one major hole that we're trying to address, and we haven't quite addressed yet, but we're certainly hopeful and resolute that we'll have that situation sorted out real soon.
I assume that you're talking about the center back situation.
One giant hole we're trying to address is not a nice way to talk about Breck Shea.
Damn. But no, the center back situation is exactly what he was talking about. The Gregory Sertich thing looks to be kind of dead.
All dead. Dead at this point. Yeah.
Pretty dead.
Yeah.
I think regardless, he's not going to be coming until his contract runs out in the summer. So, unless he gets a new deal.
Yeah, no. See,
assuming he comes at all.
It's a very complicated situation. And when I was out at the MLS draft, I learned exactly why it was happening. Paperwork was in and then things changed and the ownership for Bordeaux stepped in and said, like, hey, we're going to try and sell him now. Like, what? So it got super complicated and the deal kind of died. But now Jonathan Spector.
Yeah.
He's been thrown around as coming to Orlando. Spector, the 30-year-old out of Illinois, went through the Chicago Fire Youth Academy, but then went to Manchester United's Youth Academy, which is probably a bit more, you know, name drop. Played for Man United for 3 years, only played 3 games, loaned to Charlton Athletic, West Ham for 5 years, and then Birmingham City since 2011, where he's appeared in 153 games and has scored a total of 0 goals. In his career, in the club level, he has scored 1 goal.
I don't know.
6 foot.
I mean, he's obviously no Sertich.
Sertich, whatever. He has played more games at center back than Sertich has, though.
Yes, that's the thing is, I wouldn't say that this is like the most exciting signing, but it could be a very good one. The thing is, we can't judge it yet because we don't know what he's going to be making. I think he's obviously going to be a guy above the DP threshold. He'll probably be a targeted allocation signing. I mean, he's the
international
kind of,
TAM game.
Yeah, I mean, he's the kind of guy that rule was set up for. I mean, he's a right back primarily. But with Rafael Ramos and Kevin Alston on the roster, I think they're going to immediately try him at center back because that's where the immediate need is. I still don't understand Sepp Hines on a 3-year deal, but that's ridiculous. But they're going to.
For a fourth string.
I mean, if you're moving David Mateos, you might as well.
Well, that's the thing. So going back to the whole David Mateos thing.
If David Mateos is going to let you move him, then that's a thing.
Right. Yeah. So just to recap here, Dave Mateos was given an out. He was basically Orlando City set up deals in Mexico and China for him for exorbitant amounts of money for him to make, and he turned it down saying that I want to fight for my place here in Orlando. But no one wants him to fight for his place in Orlando. The Orlando City staff are like, nah, fam, we good. So
that's got to be an awkward situation where you know you're not wanted there, but you're going to stick around anyway.
I can just imagine the meetings like, okay, so David, we're going to let you go. No, I want to fight for my place. No, we don't want you to fight for your place. We're going to let you go. No, I stay. I'll stay here.
But anyway, I mean, he's going to play. He'll be a center back. He'll start next to Tommy Redding, Jose Aja, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work out in the end for him. I mean, I think the biggest improvement that this team needed to make this offseason with defense, and they've done a pretty good job of that. With, you know, Spector, you got Donny Toya, PC also back there. Left back's looking a lot better. Center back's looking a lot better now this year coming in.
Yep.
I mean, this team's obviously a lot better off than it was last year. I still think they need to address the forward situation. I mean, you can have Rivas and Laren, but you still need a veteran up there. Ryan Rochez isn't, he's not in shape, which would be the be-all, end-all of him. I can't imagine him even getting a chance.
Hey, this is what preseason's all about. Get in shape. Shape up.
I don't think his body is physically capable of being in shape. Just based on what I know about him over these past 2 to 3 years.
Got a hit of that burger joint. All right.
They need to just ban him. Get a restraining order on that guy. Orlando City needs to lobby that burger place to kick him out.
Hey, man, you never know. They might. All right, before we move on from Orlando City, Kyle, do you have any thoughts about anything we talked about?
Yeah, I like seeing what the team is doing in the offseason, and I think it's obviously going to be a better year coming up this year. You know, bringing Christ midway through the season wasn't going to make a huge difference. We talked about that on the show. But we need to find someone, some reinforcements up at the top. I don't know if I necessarily agree it has to be a veteran, because I think now Laren in his third year has been consistent and pretty solid. So it just needs someone who's capable of filling in for him. But yeah, no, I think it's this year is going to be better than the last 2 years. I think just from what we've seen, the
you
way we
say that
ended
now.
Last season, and then some of the moves we've made, I think it'll be a better year.
You say that now. We'll revisit this in 6 months and see what happens. All right, quickly through MLS and World Soccer news. Jermaine Jones signed with the LA Galaxy. Thoughts?
Predictable.
Yeah, sure.
They finally added a player?
They signed a Brazilian guy.
He seems like a decent signing.
Who? I mean, the Brazilian guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I was going to say, Jermaine Jones sounds like a decent signing.
This is a completely different roster at this point. Completely different club. So
coach.
I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how... what kind of start they get off to.
Basically. Diego Costa rumored to go to China. Thoughts?
I only care if Diego Costa is rumored to go into the center of a volcano.
Didn't they say, what, $800,000 a week for Costa?
Something stupid.
That's
like
ridiculous.
That.
I mean, the Chinese Super League, the new rule that they have now, you can only have one foreign player, is going to slow down the whole process of them.
Boy, if he's that one foreign player on your club.
You're not running a good club there, basically.
Here's the problem, though. Does, like, Diego Costa become, like, some kind of, like, land baron in China? Because he's already kind of a supervillain as it is. I just sort of see him becoming even more of an awful human being, given the fact that if you have money and you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want there.
So you're saying he's just going to run around and, like, punch baby?
I literally think he's going to become... like a Bond villain.
Jeez.
And I can see it.
Like, if you actively cheer for Diego Costa, like, you know what you're rooting for.
Yeah.
If you actively cheer for Diego Costa, I'm going to question what kind of person you are.
Yeah. Like, who hurt you?
All right.
I already know who you voted for in the election as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kyle, thoughts on Diego Costa?
He's not going to get paid $800,000 a week. I'll tell you that. They said the reports were that Carlos Tevez was going to get paid, what, over $600,000? And they were basically like, I don't know who the fuck told you this, but that's not happening. So, yeah, he's not getting paid that much. And I mean, I don't think he's going to go, but if he did, he's not getting paid that much.
Why would he want to leave Champions League play in a title race at Chelsea anyway right now? To go play in
money.
China.
Money.
Yeah, but I mean, you're already a very...
Money makes the world
go. You forget,
we just
went over this. He's a literal Bond villain. Yeah. He's not going to be able to build that superconductor, only making like $100,000 at Chelsea a week.
He needs to grow like a little tweedly mustache so that he can like...
I could see that.
Twirl it.
Yeah, no, I could absolutely see that. I think you're going a little too Snidely Whiplash with him, but...
I mean, you know where, like, you know, villain you think of a mustache.
Not always, but okay.
Like a 1950s villain.
You're thinking 1920s villain.
Like, see, you're never going to catch me. Like that kind of...
Sure.
That's fedora 20s. Hat. Fedora hat and the fancy suit.
As soon as Diego Costa wears a fedora hat, then you know it's over.
I mean, it would endear him even more to Chelsea fans, seeing as how they're probably all men's rights activists.
Jesus.
All right, what's going on in the world?
Chicharito rumors spiking up again, but this time, well, I mean, it's to MLS again, but this time it's to LAFC. But here's some fun news. I have recently learned that the whole Chicharito thing actually almost happened in Orlando. The paperwork was signed.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil has said as much.
It was very, very close to happening.
No, I mean, like, it was on Adrian's desk signed, like, that close.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know we all knew that.
Yep.
I didn't know that, but I believe it.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that part of, like, all the paperwork being, like, signed.
I believe that it was a very real situation that almost happened.
Right.
Phil has been on the record multiple times of saying, like, this was going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so basically, I mean, Orlando City hold his discovery rights. So if LA wants him, they got to pay money.
I think LA, if they do want him, they're going to pay him a lot of money. Otherwise, I do believe he will end up in Orlando at some point. Next season, after they sell Kyle Larin, we're going to need a striker.
Yeah.
After if Kaká takes sign a pay trade, cut, and
sign
goes
trade,
away.
Sign and trade with Bayer Leverkusen. Also, Chicharito's buyout clause is very cheap.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when he came over from Man U, there was kind of like he was like basically a cast off at that point.
Yeah. So the contract
his
that
whole
he signed
career,
was like a nothing.
His whole career got like a giant resurgence once he went to Germany. Mm-hmm. Like he was not the player he is now.
Which is not good for Orlando City and MLS because obviously, what was it, $10 million is what they wanted? He's going to be looking for a lot more now.
Of course. But, I mean, DP level money regardless.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be getting that, but...
Regardless, he's going to be the highest paid player in league history. If he comes over.
Well, no, that's going to be Bastian Schweinsteiger when he goes to Chicago.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I believe with Dax now, which that's a good trade. That team... All right. I can't get used to the concept of them actually doing smart things.
It's going to be Jack Wilshere when he goes to LAFC.
Kyle, thoughts on Chicharito?
I've been saying this since we first started talking about him. He's coming to Orlando City. It's going to happen. He's going to make Orlando City great again.
Not if we build that wall first. He is Mexican.
That's true. If we build the wall, he can't come over. So. Yeah.
He is Mexican, so...
Oof. Are you playing Overwatch?
No.
Okay. Sorry, it just sounded like you were clicking. What's and
next?
Shooting. Orange County Blues in USL. So they used to be OCB, as in Orange County Blues, which just happened to be the same as Orlando City B, OCB. They changed their name, so now Orlando City B has their own name back. But they changed it to Orange County Soccer Club, so they're now OCSC, as in Orlando City Soccer Club.
That's some expert level trolling there.
See, no, if it was expert level trolling, they'd just change their logo to the Orlando City logo.
No, they wouldn't do that. They'd keep an acronym the same as.
Yeah. You got to be subtle about it. You can't just go all in trolling.
Yeah, if you just full on change your logo to that one, you're not trolling anyone.
You're looking on like copyright infringement and trademark issues, yeah. And that's just
if anything, you're playing yourself. So.
Yeah, fair. Cool. All right. Guys, look up your weird news right now.
Oh, I got my weird news.
All right. Estrella and Roches update. So Estrella is still at Varzim Sport Club. Still hasn't scored a goal. That's it for him. And then Roches, he's back in Orlando. Posted on his Instagram. He was in the gym. But apparently, according to the fan forum last night, he is not in shape.
Who would have saw that coming?
Yeah, everybody. Having too much fun at home, man.
I really wish that kid would have panned out.
It's still not too late.
So much talent, and we're not even exaggerating. He is such a talented player. He just can't stay fit. Yeah.
Man, I mean, the professional life isn't for everybody. Yeah, you can play, but. You got to have the mental fortitude to stay focused and like actually want to be better. If you don't want to be better, then you're going to end up like Tyler Turner. Like he really didn't want to do much in regards to training or anything like that. That's and now he's without a club and no one's really looking at him.
That's a shame.
So, you know.
Landon Donovan loved him. And he could probably go, he'll probably end up in San Diego.
Yeah. What about this year though?
In San Diego. They've got a club out there, NPSL club. Rumored to be going to NASL. Looking at MLS expansion.
All right,
you guys ready for this?
Yeah, weird news time. Kyle, do you have anything?
Yeah, I do.
Huh.
There was a, in Manhattan, a 12-year-old pulled a gun out on one of his classmates in order to get her chicken nuggets. And the girl smacked away the gun. I mean, the guy was holding the gun. The kid, it was a 12-year-old kid and a 12-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl, and he held the gun to her head and demanded she give him her chicken nuggets. And she slapped away the gun, and he ran off. And she kept the chicken nuggets.
Cool.
Which, I mean, that's pretty... I don't know. I wouldn't pull a gun on someone for chicken nuggets, but hey.
Bitches be crazy about them chicken nuggets, man.
Man, Kyle, we all know you love chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
You are in fact 12 years old, so.
It's true. I wouldn't pull a gun on anyone for chicken nuggets. That's a little too far.
Hey, man, if you were hungry enough.
No, there's no, I mean, unless I was like lost in the jungle starving.
I would absolutely pull a gun on someone for a chicken tender sub, though.
That I would do in a heartbeat, yeah. But
that's wouldn't even wouldn't even second guess it.
Cool. All right, Gavin, what's your weird news?
TV's Cake Boss was arraigned, and he was arraigned on drug driving charges in Manhattan last Thursday. He was
arrested?
He was arraigned.
Arraigned is when you go to court.
Yeah. He's due back. He was arraigned in court after stopped for allegedly swerving down the Hudson Yards. He was arrested, and he was also telling officers, "You can't arrest me. I'm the Cake Boss."
I'm Cake Boss.
I mean, being the Cake Boss just ain't what it used to be anymore. It doesn't come with that same power.
You know who I am? I'm the most powerful caker in the world.
I'd be like, man, I am the biggest face on the Food Network right now.
I'm Cake Boss.
He's due back in court pretty soon.
Go figure.
In a TLC. Oh, apparently he's on TLC.
Cool. All right, Brad.
In Mississippi, cookie dough from a Madison County manufacturer is clogging up Canton Municipal utility lines, officials said Tuesday morning during a meeting of the CMU Board of Commissioners. Excess cookie dough clogging up utility lines.
Do you see that there's a shop in New York City about to open up that sells just raw cookie dough?
Is it just called, like, can't you, like, get sick from just eating raw cookie dough?
That's what the FDA says, but I don't think people are going to listen to those.
You're just eating raw egg.
I mean, you get, like, salmonella from it, right?
If you eat it in excess, yeah.
This place is going to sell to you in excess.
It's like, you remember how...
Here's a box of cookie dough.
Well, no, didn't... God, who was it? Didn't Pillsbury have, like... There's, like, a bucket that had cookie dough in it, and you just, like, scooped them out, and you make cookies from that? That's all they're going to sell there. You just get, like... You just see people walking out with, like, a tub.
It's basically just the dairy aisle.
Yeah.
But with all the, just cookie spots.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. My weird news. Cops tell dead woman that she can appeal cause of death. So, human error leads police to send incentive letter to a deceased woman telling her that her criminal case has been closed. Yeah, this was out in Israel, and so she died 6 weeks earlier, but then they sent her a letter saying that she could appeal her cause of death if she wished.
Well, you know.
And they gave her 30 days to appeal.
But she's dead, right?
But she's dead.
But she's dead.
But she's dead. So I don't think she'll be doing that anytime soon. All right. That does it for weird news. Let's do some predictions and then get the heck out of here. Because we're going to head off to the hospital. Yay.
So I can go bother some dudes.
Get better soon, Michael. That butt cancer isn't going to heal itself. send all tweets to my work account at ManlandMichael on Twitter.
Let's stop doing that now.
In lieu of flowers, just send me tweets.
Get better tweets.
Send me ultra rare Pepes.
Oh God.
Again, that's at ManlandMichael.
No, stop.
MANELANDMICAN.
No, you're muted now. We're gonna pick some games here. Everton versus Crystal Palace.
Everton.
This is the first game we're
going
to be
picking. It's going on right now.
I know it is. This is why we're picking it right now.
It's scoreless, though, so it doesn't...
Right.
So, we're predict... Okay.
We're predicting a game that's happening right now, but it's only a few minutes in, right?
I don't think you can still get your bet in at this point.
Everton?
You?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can get bets in before half.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Brad, you said Everton?
Yeah.
Kyle?
Yeah, I'm going Everton as well.
Gavin, Everton?
Of course.
What minute is it?
Like 15.
Yeah, I'll go Everton as well. And probably be wrong. Man City, Tottenham?
Ooh, that's good.
Anyone?
Well, after getting steamrolled by Everton last week, I'm thinking Tottenham.
Kyle?
Oh.
Oh.
I feel like Man City's got to bounce back. So I think it's going to be a draw.
They've been struggling lately.
Okay, Brad.
Yeah, like, you got to figure, like, they're not, I mean, Tottenham is good.
Does that say that feel weird to say?
Yeah, it really does feel weird to say.
It's like saying Arsenal's in the title race.
It doesn't
roll off the tongue.
Well, last year was kind of funny because, like, Tottenham and Leicester were in a two-horse race, and Tottenham somehow finished third.
Because Tottenham.
But, yeah, because Tottenham, I'm going to say Man City.
I'll go Tottenham. AC Milan versus Napoli.
I like AC Milan.
Kyle?
I like Napoli.
Brad?
Who's Mike Napoli playing with this year?
This one actually takes a little bit of consideration.
The Rangers are going after him.
Mix in some baseball.
He's still a free agent.
I know.
I just realized yesterday that Chris Sale was traded to the Red Sox.
Where have you been?
Yeah, somebody was talking about that kid who threw 110. He was like,
I'm gonna say AC Milan.
In the Chris Sale trade. Like, what the hell did Chris Sale get traded?
I'm gonna go Milan as well. And then the final game in the African Nations Cup. Egypt versus Uganda.
The Cup of Nations?
Yeah, African Cup of Nations.
Come on, Austin.
Come on, Austin.
Who's it? Uganda?
Egypt and Uganda.
You silly little bitch.
Brad, who are you going for?
What were the teams again?
Egypt and Uganda.
Egypt.
Uganda, be kidding me, right? I'm going to go with Uganda in this one.
Kyle?
I'm going with Egypt.
I'm gonna go Egypt. That's it. All right, guys. Episode 44 is done. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll figure out our schedules and record something. It'll be after the first week of practice too, or after it starts. So we'll have some more stuff to talk about. Some fun stuff. Hopefully some more transfer news to talk about in terms of every other club in the world. So, yeah. I think that'll do it.
It's been great to be back with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hope you continue to tune in this year.
All right. Happy 2017. See you next time.
We return from the depths of the bad man. With a gun and a knife and a waistband. With the war with the devil and Shaytan. He wore a bad toupee and a spray tan. So high now, hoping that I land. On a tie stick, moving through Thailand. On the radio, heard a plane hijack. Government being that by the Quick Crack.